bright eyes and strong bodies. The captain asked the chief for an explanation. How has this island moved so far ahead of the others? The chief, who is smaller than the captain, but every bit his equal in confidence, gives a quick response. Father Benjamin, he educated us in everything from agriculture to health. He built schools and clinics and dug wells. The captain asks, can you take me to see him? The chief nods and signals for two tribesmen to join him. They guide the captain over a jungle ridge to a simple, expansive medical clinic. It is equipped with clean beds and staffed with trained caretakers. They show the captain the shelves of medicine and introduce him to the staff. The captain, though impressed, sees nothing of Father Benjamin. He repeats his request. I would like to see Father Benjamin. Can you take me to where he lives? The three natives look puzzled. They confer among themselves. After several minutes, the chief invites, follow us to the other side of the island. They walk along the shoreline until they reach a series of fish ponds. Canals connect the ponds to the ocean. As the tide rises, fish pass from the ocean into the ponds. The islanders then lower canal gates and trap the fish for harvest. Again, the captain is amazed. He meets fishermen and workers, gatekeepers and net casters, but he sees nothing of Father Benjamin. He wonders if he is making himself clear. I don't see Father Benjamin. Please take me to where he lives. The trio talks alone again. After some discussion, the chief offers, let's go up to the mountain. They lead the captain up a steep, narrow path. After many twists and turns, the path deposits them in front of a grass-roofed chapel. The voice of the chief is soft and earnest. He has taught us about God. He escorts the captain inside and shows him the altar, a large wooden cross, several rows of benches, and a Bible. Is this where Father Benjamin lives? The captain asks. The men nod and smile. May I talk to him? Their faces grow suddenly serious. Oh, that would be impossible. Why? He died many years ago. The bewildered captain stares at the men. I asked to see him, and you showed me a clinic, some fish farms, and this chapel. You said nothing of his death. You did not ask about his death, the chief explains. You asked to see where he lives. We showed you. Chapter 1, Our Once in History Opportunity. By the time you knew what to call it, you were neck deep in it. You toddler walked and talked, smelled crayons and swung bats, gurgled and giggled your way out of diapers and into childhood. You'd noticed how guys aren't gals, and dogs aren't cats, and pizza sure beats spinach. And then somewhere in the midst of it all, it hit you. At your grandpa's funeral, perhaps. Maybe when you waved goodbye as your big brother left for the Marines. You realized that these days are more than ice cream trips, homework, and pimples. This is called life, and this one is yours. Complete with summers and songs and gray skies and tears, you have a life. Didn't request one, but you have one. A first day, a final day, and a few thousand in between. You've been given an honest-to-goodness human life. You've been given your life. No one else has your version. You'll never bump into yourself on the sidewalk. You'll never meet anyone who has your exact blend of lineage, loves, and longings. Your life will never be lived by anyone else. You're not a jacket in an attic that can be recycled after you're gone. And who pressed the accelerator? As soon as one day is lived, voila, here comes another. The past has passed, and the good old days are exactly that. Old days, the stuff of rearview mirrors and scratch.